We open interior on Graham's Lorelei Lounge, a busy restaurant during dinner service. An older man, Professor Uribe, and his former, now grown students are out for a meal together. We join them mid-conversation as one is talking about her cell phone.
And then I check Instagram, and I see an ad for Graham crackers. These things are spying on us.
Yeah, go ahead and spy on me. You're just going to see me drink too much wine and watch too much scandal.
I'm so glad you could come out tonight with us, Professor Uribe.
Getting to see what you go on to do after graduation is one of my favorite parts of teaching.
I mean, your class at business school is the reason we're not just plugging away at a hedge fund, and we're doing what we think is important.
Everyone raises their wine glasses.
Cheers.
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 And they toast.
Tell me more about this new job.
Oh, it's great. We're in the Amstar building.
The server arrives with plates of food, and here we go.
All right.
Oh, well, thank you.
The server sets down a gourmet burger in front of Dylan, and Professor Uribe takes notice.
Look at that. Who got that?
Yep, that's mine.
Dylan, that looks really good. I should have got that.
Yeah, so everything's going really great. There's just this one woman on my team who's driving me a little crazy.
Professor Uribe is still staring longingly at Dylan's burger.
What's her deal?
She's just a micromanager, so every time I'm making a deck, she's there saying, oh, I wouldn't have done it that way.
I should have got that.
Have you tried talking to her about your issues?
Dylan, look over there.
Professor Uribe points away from the table, but no one looks. He reaches over as if he means to steal Dylan's burger, but then pulls back and laughs, throwing his hands up.
I'm joking. I'm joking.
Professor Uribe then grunts while staring at the burger and Dylan.
Give me that.
What?
Give me that.
My food?
I'm joking.
A long, uncomfortable silence, and then...
Enough about my drama. Dylan, how are your kids?
They're a handful, of course, but we have the au pair. Susan is working part-time right now, so that really helps.
Professor Uribe slowly reaches across the table for Dylan's burger, making strong eye contact the entire time. He actually picks up the burger, brings it to his mouth, and pretends to eat without actually biting it.
Om nom nom yum yum.
He places the burger back on Dylan's plate.
I'm joking.
Professor, do you want a bite of mine?
Yeah, I actually would like to try it.
Yeah, sure.
Dylan gestures to the burger, which Professor Uribe reaches across the table to grab once more, stretching to do so.
Come here.
Professor Uribe takes a huge bite of Dylan's burger as the conversation continues without him.
So, Brenda is 4 and a half, Taylor is 3, and they're into art right now.
Dylan, I'm going to eat the whole thing.
The students sit and watch Professor Uribe eat the rest of Dylan's burger in silence, clearly uncomfortable the entire time. Dylan glumly eats a french fry off of his plate. Student number 2 tries to right the ship by getting back to talking about Dylan's kids.
It's so weird to imagine you as a dad.
Are you going to tell people I did that?
Hmm?
That I housed Dylan's burger?
No, we're not going to say anything, right, guys? You didn't like your meal. It's no big deal.
Let me take a video of you saying you're going to kill the president.
What?
It's no big deal. No one's ever going to see it. Unless I hear the story of me housing Dylan's burger down at Graham's Lorelei Lounge.
We're not saying that.
Saying what?
That we're going to kill the president.
He pulls out his phone.
Oh, shit. Say it again.
Oh, my God. What is wrong with you?
I tried to get a video, but I couldn't flip the thing fast enough.
You know, we were really looking forward to seeing you tonight. We look up to you so much. But right now, I don't even know what to think.
The truth is, I may look like I have it all. But inside, I'm just a scared little boy who never learned how to ask for people's food or their burgers. And the thing that scares me the most is that if people found out, my wife would go to jail. Because every night,
he pats his stomach,
a little boy goes down on her.
Jesus!
Oh, fuck!
End scene.
Yeah, let's hit it. All right.
Well, then.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Saturday, and you know what that
it's
means.
It's not.
Oh. It actually might be... No, it is Friday.
Well?
It is Friday. It's Friday, and this is horse time. I don't know what to tell you. My name is Shannon Young, playing the role of Professor Yoruba. Along with me are some other bays. Let me introduce you to them. First off, we have the man that works very hard transcribing and typing out all of the things that you hear us say, and that's Double H.
Shannon, give me that.
What, this bottle of scotch, this scotch Manhattan here?
I think I'm going to drink the whole thing.
I think not. Also with us tonight, Gandalf, Ari Casper.
Ate my damn burger.
I housed it.
Housed it.
Lindsay Wolfgang.
I don't know if I'll ever fully understand your humor.
I appreciate that. And Cody Sandducky.
Are you going to tell people I did that?
Did what?
House this entire episode.
Not
am I the only one who's never heard housed as a verb like that?
I had never heard it.
No clue. No.
Really? Yeah. I actually use it from time to time. Like with Emily, I'll say that I housed a whole plate of food.
I thought maybe I was hearing it wrong. It's what he says, and even in the closed captioning, it's correct.
Yep,
like housed. It says, you can tell people I housed Dylan's burger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Hunter, it's an Albany term.
Well, you I'm from Albany, and I've never heard that.
It's more of a Utica expression.
I think we have that backwards.
Yes,
it's
fine.
I'm trying to get tipsy as the show goes along. Here's what I did. I went ahead. It's my favorite game. I popped the 30 milligram gummy. And now I'm drinking. Jesus. So I don't know how long I've got on this show before I'm out of it. So it better be entertaining quickly. We'll see what happens. Not pictured, of course, tonight. Tanner, for obvious reasons.
Tanner.
Are they obvious?
Tanner had one line, and he ain't here. Kaz, I'd like
to... We didn't give him enough to get a SAG after credit, so he wasn't going to fucking show up for that.
Yeah,
he's not going to get his card.
Are we technically allowed to do... Well, none of us are SAG members, right? Hunter might be the only one.
No.
No?
No, I'm not. No. I can't tell if that's a joke or not, but I'm
no,
not.
No, it seriously wasn't.
I was the closest of us, yeah. Right.
No, I do have... We've joked about it, but it is true. I do have an IMDb page. I definitely did not have to get SAG after it to do that. The voice acting that I did was done non-union so long ago that I have never entertained the idea of joining the union unless I actually started doing regular voice work. So,
well, Hunter, it's a union of people you ought to respect.
Where's Shame. The 2x4s?
Don't forget
God
this.
Damn it! Where's the 2x4s?
Shame comes at the end because that stands for up yours.
Up yours.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh my God,
Kaz. Before we get started on the festivities tonight, let me ask you: do you enjoy a nice Manhattan?
Hey, Manhattans are...
That went downhill immediately.
He sounded excited at first, and then he lost interest very quickly.
Steam ran out within words.
Once he found out that the
remembrance of a Manhattan happened about halfway through that sentence. So.
Hunter, once he found out that the patriarchy had nothing to do with horses, he lost interest.
There's no interest at all. How could Kaz be a fascist? He doesn't control the railways or commerce.
What's a railway?
It's that thing we go to in Fallout 76 when we sell stuff.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is. The
Lindsay,
big refrigerator.
You doing okay over there?
The big refrigerator.
That cat looks very violent.
Because I put a scrunchie around her neck and paw.
Do it again. I want to see it.
Yeah, it's a little murderer.
Oh, aren't you precious?
Redhead's going, get it off me, I'm dying.
I can just imagine that cat is on, I think you should leave, because as you do it, I can just hear the cat going, fuck, fuck!
They're trying to make it look fake!
You gotta get right up beside me for it to look real. You gotta get right beside me!
I want you to know that you were with the cat playing crooner, were you?
I finally finished all seasons of I Think You Should Leave, and Yeah, it's fantastic. We've been doing a lot of it as the cold open lately. It's just that funny. I mean, seriously, if you haven't seen it,
it's all we're talking about, man. I mean, that's the reason I keep doing those, because I don't even consult anybody. I just go, okay, which I think you should leave thing are we talking about the most lately? I was gonna do the driving crooner, but I feel like that one's not as funny if you can't see it.
You got to see the
mountain. I have the visual of the decals and the Fuck, she tried to take my decals.
Roll your window up. There's nothing on it. We know what's on it. I'm going to fucking kill you, driving crooner.
God damn. Richard at work. He's got that big old Cadillac. We slap a couple decals on that. I'd like to have about 5 cars out there. Fuck, I really got to make money on this.
I really want to make money on this.
I'm hearing the sketch in the stereo.
It's a good idea.
Oh, my God. It's a double coat open.
Unfortunately, there's a lot on I Think You Should Leave that we just can't do because a lot of it's visual. Like, I would love to do the little buff boys competition.
No.
It wouldn't be Troll Boy. Troll Boy, it's not you. You see
Shannon,
why, right?
Shannon, look in the text.
Okay, hold on.
Shannon, look in the text.
Okay, hold on.
Lomer.
Who's that? That's Lomer.
Wow.
I can't.
That's not Homer. That's Lomer.
I don't like it.
We did peak comedy. I have nothing to add.
It's like an alternate world fuck is his name? Cotton Hill. Instead of getting his shins blown off, he had the mid part of his body blown off and
torso blown off.
Nothing left.
Hey, Kaz!
What? What?
Did you see Donald Trump's? Do you see his mugshot? His
mugshot.
Yeah.
Yes, I prefer the one with the hat.
What the hell?
What the hell? Did you see the? There's another meme going around showing his picture, his mugshot, along with that the picture of Vincent D'Onofrio from Full Metal Jacket, where he's just kind of staring at the camera, and then another one of McDowell from with the milk
Clockwork Orange.
Yeah, it's just all these kind of like
rough, unhappy people. Yeah, really scowling. Miserable guys. Honestly,
yes,
very very sad. Oh, yeah. I was looking. Ethan and I at the store today. We were looking through the mugshots because we thought it was funny. And there's only one person that came out of that looking okay, and that's Jenna Ellis. She actually looks very lovely in her mugshot. Everybody else
looks like she's having a joyous time.
She's just having a great time. Everybody else looks mad or shitty, you know.
Okay, but again, what you're working with doesn't help that. I mean, Mr. Giuliani, the glorious looking man that he is, always looks shitty.
I'm just glad he didn't have octopus ink running down his face this time.
That would have made it better.
That would have.
The fucking thing is, you're starting to see it now be an interesting time in history because there's a bunch of MAGA people that are doing like their own mugshots in solidarity, apparently.
Yeah. Well, okay.
And I'm just like, well, that's fitting.
What?
Yeah. No joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They love the fact that their person went to
jail.
This
is new to me.
Well, also, okay, so I heard Fox News say this, and I 100% agree with it, surprisingly, but they were talking about it was when Trump was getting out of his car and he was going to go get books and all that stuff, and the host, I don't know who it was talking about how the liberals think that they've won. They think this is this great moment that's going to live in infamy where Trump was embarrassed and all that, but the opposite's going to happen. What's going to happen is people are going to take that mugshot, put it on t-shirts. It's going to become a whole symbol for Trump. And they're right. Look at Johnny Cash. Look at his fucking, you know, him flipping off the camera. Look at who was it? Not Nick Nolte. That actually was pretty bad. But there's a lot of mugshots where people have turned that into like a selling point, and absolutely is going to happen.
Shannon,
yeah,
it's already happened. It's already on Trump's website.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, not. I thought you were doing a bit. No, he's actually absolutely selling this shit.
Oh my!
If there's
God.
An opportunity to sell anything from this to Trump piss.
Here you go, buddy. Here you go, buddy. Let me send you a screenshot of that text only for babies.
It's like when Belle Delphine sold the bathwater, the gamer bathwater. Yeah. Trump's just selling Trump piss.
Yeah, coming to fucking Amazon near you.
Isn't that a lyric from Mambo Number 5? The Trump is.
The Trump is.
Damn it, I hate you. I like that song. Why would you do that to me?
Well,
God damn it.
You're going
to
hear forever now. Every time you ever hear it.
Double issue, you son of a bitch.
And there's always going to be some maggot somewhere that'll drink it.
Boy, yeah, I gotta tell you, my favorite thing is the fact that they put Never Surrender over a picture of a man who just surrendered.
Right, right. The
literally surrendered.
It's literally what happened.
Oh, my God.
Oh, shit, that reminds me. I saw a thing earlier where somebody said to all these fucking right-wing MAGA people who keep wanting another civil war, your leaders just surrendered in Georgia again. How many times are we going to do this? How many times do you want to play this game?
How many times are we going to teach you this lesson, old man?
They have a tendency to surrender. That's true.
Oh, that is so funny and so sad because I truly believe, I mean this, by the way, like if you're keeping track at home, when Trump got arrested and all that stuff came out, he went up in points. He went up in points.
Of course.
So,
yes.
Unless they can convict Trump, if they just take him to trial and he's found not guilty or he's acquitted or whatever, that's going to win him the election. That's going to win him the fucking election.
No. I don't believe he'll win the election. He'll definitely get the primary.
Oh, definitely.
And he'll get the candidacy. But winning the election is winning over independents, not Nutjob MAGAs.
One of my favorite creators says it best. You can't win a primary without him, and you can't win a general with him.
Exactly.
Because 2020 showed it, 2022 showed it, and I can't wait to see prison bars preventing 2024 from showing it. But don't worry. We have a brown guy running for president now who's just as awful, so it's okay.
Technically, 2016 showed it, and 2018 showed it, too.
Those
were losses as well. It's just technicalities. Let's be like, he hasn't actually won anything.
But,
and the whole Trump brand hasn't actually won anything either.
But if he wins the primary and he goes up against Joe Biden, do you think Biden could beat him again?
Yes.
Yes.
I think
if Biden was a broom, then the broom would win.
I don't know, man. I think Trump is building up so much support right now with his, look what they're doing to me, look how they're coming after
from
me.
Who?
From who?
There's a difference between support and volume.
That's true, but we won't know for sure until the election, obviously.
Unfortunately.
I don't want it to go the wrong way. I don't want Joe Biden to run again. I don't hate Joe Biden. I thought he did okay job, but...
The anthem of this last, 12 years is going to be the fucking song, or how is the best case scenario Joe Biden? Like, understand that. This is not a ringing endorsement from the Sandusky household of the fucker that's currently there. It's just of the options currently being presented, of which there are few, I'll stick with the guy who showed up right now.
Is there we're not going to talk politics all by one question on politics.
I'll say we
and then
definitely
we'll
took away swerve from the beginning of the show.
We'll move on to something fun after this, I promise. But I have a question, genuine. I want to know from everybody here. Is there a Republican candidate that you do support out of that lineup that you would go, okay, maybe not, maybe they wouldn't be so bad? Because and the reason I say that, because in 2016, I really did like John Kasich. I thought Kasich was a good choice. Kasich, of course, didn't make it because Trump. But on this field right now that you saw at the Republican debate, is there anybody on that debate floor that you would support if they, became president?
No.
Okay.
The closest currently would be Chris Christie.
Agreed.
And it's not because I like him. It's not like I respect him. He's a fucking troll like the rest of them.
Agreed.
But he wants to burn a few things down, and I like the look and smell of fire.
It's the same thing, Kaz, I'm going to go to you here in a second. It's the same thing as Liz Cheney. I never supported her, really. I didn't think she was a great person, but at least she had the fucking scruples to stand up to Donald Trump and try to make a change there. And even though Chris Christie, we said it on the show last night, for how many years Chris Christie sat in the background as a fucking puppet of Trump and made to look like an absolute fool. Now he's finally got his balls up, but at least he's doing it. It's
I think
a
he has his balls up because he knows he can get a little bit of attention out of it, because he didn't have the fucking balls to do it the last time around when he knew it would be definitely against the status quo.
He's
still a chicken shit.
Him standing on that stage while Trump ran him down, and that look of, oh my God, this guy's running me down, will live in my head in the same way that Ron DeSantis checking to see what everybody else voted for before he raised his hand. And I didn't even, Derek Boxdorfer actually posted this on my wall in response to I did the Iggy. Have you seen the clip of DeSantis stopping and then trying to smile because he forgot he had to? Go! Oh my God!
I've seen the GIF, but yeah. Not in context. Like, yeah, I've seen the GIF, just not in the context.
He was on the debate, and he like just starts to smile because he's like, "Oh right, I have to smile." It's like Mark Zuckerberg when Zuckerberg smiles. It's so unnatural. Kaz, same question to you: is there anybody on the Republican side that you would support, or at least go, I'll give him a chance?
Really, honestly, it comes down to there was only two people on that stage that did not hold their hand up whenever they asked if you would support this person for being convicted of treason. Fuck that. Like,
it's a low bar, right? It's a low bar.
Yeah, it's a low bar.
And yeah. So Hutchinson's still a massive piece of shit that doesn't deserve to be anywhere where there's oxygen either. There's so only, let's get that straight.
There's only one good Asa, and that's Asa Gray.
Goddamn right.
Yeah, that scene alone with the hands up, it was such a telling moment. It showed all but three of them are completely out of their gourd about like anti-America.
Yeah.
It showed one of them has no fucking mind of his own because he's just going to go with the swarm.
He's talking about Vivek.
And then the other two are just there because they want to be contrary and stick out from the crowd of other fucking losers.
It's a sad state of affairs because none of them have a chance. That's the funny part. None of them have a chance.
No chance.
The only way they have a chance is if Trump fails. If Trump's arrested and he's disqualified, yes. But otherwise, it's a pissing contest and no one's going to win. Everyone's pissing on each other. All right, let's pivot away from politics. No one's listening for politics.
Oh, motherfucker, you didn't ask me.
It's true.
I didn't ask Lindsay either.
Yeah, but Lindsay got up and left the camera during the conversation.
Hunter left because a little kitten was trying to chew on the wires behind my computer, so I kicked all the fuzzy butts out of my room.
Hunter, I legitimately just thought I was doing you a solid by not forcing you into that question, but if you want to answer it, I would love to hear it.
Yeah. No.
God damn it. The answer God to your question damn it.
No. I do want to point something out, and I don't want to elaborate on why this is important to me. But I also want to point this out. Here's a big part of the reason why. At that convention, which I assume the things that are said there are endorsed by the people who are running for that party, right? At that convention, they made it very clear. They've started saying the quiet part loud that the biggest, and this is a direct quote, and I forget who from, I have to go find it. The biggest threat, the greatest villains in this country right now are teachers and education. What? And you know what? And you know what?
Bullshit.
You know what? The biggest threat to them, you're absolutely fucking right.
Yeah,
you are.
That's the thing. It's the only thing they'll ever say that's actually correct in the atmosphere because... Wow. It's true.
Because they're finally admitting out loud that the thing that will take them down is an educated fucking populace. They don't want that. They're going to do everything they can to take money out of education. Yeah. They are not going to do a damn thing for public education. They're going to keep putting more money into private schools, into religious schools.
Yep.
They're going to do everything they can to fuck up public education because they know that is 100% the biggest threat to the way they want to live their lives.
So
fuck them and fuck them all.
I want
to
say that...
As I said the other night, they are just getting one more step closer to trying to be the capital from the Hunger Games.
Lindsay, save your Hunger Games fangirl for when the movie comes out. We'll do a show on it, I promise. Anyway, no, I'm kidding. I won't do a show on the Hunger Games. I've never watched it. But I know you love it. But I know you love it, and I know I'm going to have to go watch it. So I'll get caught up real quick.
I'll go watch it by myself.
No,
I'm not going to drag you.
No, you won't. You won't. Anyway, I don't know why I said that so threateningly. I don't even know what I was going to say. If again, I know we're very critical of Republicans on this show and conservatives, and you're probably going, why are you guys so critical of conservatives? You have two choices in this election from everything that we've seen. Unless you're voting for Chris Christie or Asa Hutchinson, you can either pick good or evil. And I'm being completely legitimate. Look, I'm not a conservative. I'm very progressive and liberal-minded. There are some things I am conservative on. I won't say what they are simply because I don't want to start a fight. But it's very clear if you watch the debate or if you keep up with the news at all that the Republican Party, as it is right now, is just an evil party. They want to take rights away from gays and LGBTQ community. They want to basically put trans people's lives in danger. They want to take away rights. They want to keep you stupid. They are evil. They are actually
want to put murder devices on the fucking border.
Yes.
Murder device.
Yeah.
They don't think climate change is real. That thing that's causing it to be 90 degrees in my upstairs right now.
The guy.
Yet begging for money whenever their shit falls apart, their state falls apart.
The guy that was most like Trump, the one that came out apparently with the best numbers because of the things he said, said that the number one enemy in the world right now is climate change and the climate change hoax. These people are evil. They are trying to destroy the world. And I'm not joking. This is absolutely true. So even if you don't like Democrats, you have one choice. Do you want to save the country or not? That's it. That's the choice.
They want to see a lot of jokers.
Oh, God.
He's not joking.
All right.
I'm going to house this whole country.
Cults are a motherfucker.
There, again, if you haven't seen it, please go to MSNBC, look up the video of Morning Joe Scarborough talking about, is MAGA a cult? Yes, it is. That's what he said, and it absolutely is. Anytime you have somebody that you know is a liar, that you know is wrong, that you know is doing the wrong thing, and you still support them for no reason at all, really, it's a cult. You're a sheep. You are being treated like a sheep and proudly marching to that shit. Oh, it's so frustrating. All right, I can't talk about this anymore. I am so tipsy already. Cody!
Feels like a bit from Wayne's World. I can't talk about it. It's giving me a headache.
I am headaching.
I feel like we're going to get another review on iTunes about being too...
It's going to be so cool.
Patting ourselves on the back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Guess what?
Fuck them.
Exactly. But I love that we pivoted to Cody, the one in here who grew up in the thing that's closest related to a cult. Thank you. I appreciate that subtlety.
Well, the reason I was going to talk to you... Go. Go ahead.
Off camera. Your boy grew up in a very, very narrow-minded Pentecostal organization. The FBI may or may not have classified it as one at different times. We'll talk about it later.
I want to send a shout-out to Batch and Bottle, because I've now purchased two of your products, and they have fucked me up quickly, and I don't understand how. I've had a couple of shots, of a Scotch Manhattan, and I feel like I can't put two sentences together. Last week, I did a lazy old fashioned, and it was the same thing. So I don't know what it is you're putting in your alcohol, but it's ruining my life, and I want you to know that. Thank you, Batch and Bottle.
Shin, do you know why they call them the Saw movies?
I don't want to know.
Because after you see them, then you saw them.
God damn it.
There it is. That's a fucking office joke.
He's done.
It's a very office level joke, and I love it.
He can't do anything.
I don't like it anymore. Cody, the reason I was throwing it to you, for the record, is because last night, I'm going to talk to Cass too, because I want to get his opinion. Last night, we talked about our five favorite Super Nintendo games on the anniversary of the Super Nintendo's release in 1991. By the way, if you want to know what a fucking professional I am so tipsy right now, and listen to me still hosting this show like a fucking champ.
Derails his own segment.
This is why Podzilla 1989.
This is why
Podzilla survived and the rest didn't. Cody, what is your favorite Super Nintendo game of all time? Do you have a top five, or can at least you give me one? Everything is spinning.
We had this discussion in the illustrious chat many moons ago, because I think I still have my notepad list of it on my work computer. Okay. Mega Man X is probably my number one go-to.
Yes. Yeah,
played it immensely. Still do. I'll still play it every chance I get on my SNES Classic.
Kaz, while he's doing that, get your list ready, because I'm going to you next. You heard me.
Kaz's instinct is immediately to be like, I have no idea what's going on.
What's the Super Nintendo? Cody, go. Please go on. I'm curious. All
right, cool. I'll just five off the top of my head, because I don't have it saved in my Google Docs or anything. Mega Man X, Super Mario World, Donkey Kong Country 2, Diddy's Kong Quest. And this is where the weirdness comes in, because I did not have a Zelda game growing up. So while A Link to the Past is a very good game, it's not one I played until I was an adult. For no reason other than me literally just
That was my criteria for a lot of stuff. I left Earthbound and stuff off my list because I didn't play it there. I played it on an emulator. So.
Yeah. Super Punch-Out. Super Punch-Out's definitely on there. Mm. If I were to go for number five...
That's a real good one. I forgot about that one completely. Thank you.
Yeah, so good. Number five, Shannon, I know it's going to break both of our hearts, because I'm very tempted between Final Fantasy 3/6 and Well, I think I'm going to go just for nostalgia's sake because I played so much of it with friends as a kid. It's probably going to be Super Street Fighter 2.
Cody, for the record, I did put Final Fantasy 3 on my list as like my number one, I think. So, yeah.
Understandable.
Man, I forgot about Super Street Fighter 2. I actually wanted to put that on my list last night because I also played the shit out of that game. I was such a big Street Fighter fan. But it blanked. And the problem is because there are so many good Super Nintendo games, it's hard to narrow it down. So hard.
I just touched on like portions of it because you could do the Mega Man X trilogy that's on the Super Nintendo. They're all three great. You could do all three Donkey Kong Country games, even three, which gets some shit from people because it is weirdly hard, is an incredible game to this day. I know it's really easy, but Final Fantasy Mystic Quest is always good for a fun run through.
You know, I never played that one. I need to go back and play that one.
It's baby's first RPG. Just know. Like, it's very... very linear in the sense, like, it's designed to be a Western audience's introduction to the RPG genre.
There's
so
a whole bunch
more I find to be fun
that I didn't put on there. And I just wanted to mention one real quick in that Secret of Evermore. I just wanted to mention that because I forgot it last night. Kaz, go ahead.
This is so fucking hard.
It's so hard. I haven't been this hard since Lindsay first moved out from Pennsylvania.
So, Mortal Kombat 2.
Of course, yes. Of course.
My childhood.
Honor, what? That's good. All right.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in Time.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That was another one I was thinking about.
Earthworm Jim.
Fuck yeah.
This is just Jesse's list.
Yeah.
And then I'm a little torn. Chrono Trigger was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
My three that's at the back of that list is Chrono Trigger, Actraiser, Illusion of Gaia.
Oh, that's good.
See, you guys said Secret of Evermore and Illusion of Gaia. I am surprised Secret of Mana didn't come up from anybody.
I often forget how many good RPGs there were on the Super Nintendo. Because you guys saw Breath of Fire.
Oh my God, the Breath of Fire series. Yeah.
Was it the ogre battle?
Oh my God, I mean it when I say Super Nintendo was literally my favorite system of all time. It absolutely is. I love the Nintendo. I played the shit out of the Nintendo. But
we're talking about RPGs, and none of us even bothered fucking mentioning Super Mario RPG.
Hunter did.
I did. That was on your list. Good deal. Yeah, because that's an incredible one.
It was my second game after A Link to the Past. Yeah. So.
Oh, wow.
One of the games I play more than is Super Mario World. Always starts kind of with that island, goes up. Yeah. That game.
Star Road, baby.
I remember getting my Super Nintendo for Christmas that year. And then that January, I think, had a buddy of mine, my best friend growing up. We wanted to play Super Mario World. And we played it for 3 days straight. I watched 3 sunrises in a row, didn't go to sleep for 3 fucking days. And at one point we were outside and we were at each other's throats by the last day. Like, we done beat the fucking game multiple times and we're at each other's throats to a point where my dad looks at us and goes, "You both get yourselves to fucking bed." And it's the middle of the day and he forces us to go to bed.
Cody, I want to throw some more out there because I think of everyone that appreciates this. I feel like you and I appreciate the Super Nintendo the most, so maybe I'm wrong.
It's the system I had the most affinity for because it was same. Other than just the NES playing with my brother as like a 3 or 4 year old. It's the system I've dumped the most time into, that and the PS2. So absolutely.
I was always so mad, and this is more for me and Hunter and Cody, but I was always so mad that we never got Fire Pro because Fire Pro out in Japan on Super Nintendo, on Super Famicom. Zombies Ate My Neighbors. I cannot tell you how much I played Zombies Ate My Neighbors. I love that game so
much.
That was
another emulator game for me.
It was a game, I can tell you vividly, Country Martin Jackson had it, and as we have said countless times on the show, Cody was terrified as a child of scary things. The cover art alone, which is incredibly 50s schlocky now, as a kid I was like, nope, zombies and lady look scared, fuck that, and never touch it. I do enjoy it now.
Pulaski Video had it, and I believe Kirk Waters has an account that is very outstanding up there. Lindsay, Gundam Wing, Endless Waltz, one of the...
Yes!
Never came out in America, but it's such a good fighter.
My little brother and I played the crap out of that game on the computer to the point Dad got mad at us because, like, one of us had to play on the keyboard and one had a controller, and he's like, quit hitting the keyboard so hard.
And for the record, your dad's an asshole.
What?
No, I hope he's listening to this show because I never had the courage.
Said for the record,
I never had the courage to tell him that her dad's such an asshole. Like, I like him, but fuck.
I can't wait for the court stenographer to have to read this back later. Do you remember in minute 40 of this episode?
Here's another one.
It was so sad. So sad.
Spider-Man and Venom, Maximum Carnage.
We talked about that also one last night.
Your list is just Jesse's, man.
Well, that's because that's a fucking amazing game. I love that game so much. The only thing about that game that was bad is it wasn't two-player. It was one player. That was the only bad thing about it. And LJN, as a shit company that's worse than Hitler, could put out such a good game. That's the only thing they messed up.
Wow.
I mean, if it helps, they didn't make that game. They just published it.
To be fair, he's probably right. Hitler probably was worse at video games than them.
We'll never know. We will know. He has been in Bionic Commando. He has been in Wolfenstein 3D.
I feel like it's not worse than being in them.
Okay. He said playing them. Yeah.
Fair. That is true. I will retract my point, sir.
He could have been a savant. Metal Warriors. No one remembers Metal Warriors. I didn't even know it existed until I started working at Gaming Ground, 709 Broadway. I'm sober when I'm working. And it was such a good game.
I need that to be the tagline on the van that you drive around
it
in.
It is. Like, I'm sober when I'm
working.
I won't touch the kids at all.
I mean,
it's true.
I'd like to think that's true.
It's a fact.
Oh my god, I have nothing to add to that. But yes, Metal Warriors,
falling apart Cybernator, on this episode.
If you're talking about mech games, Cybernator is a very good game. Kaz has turned off his camera. He's not being incriminated.
And one of the only misses on the Super Nintendo, though, and I was so excited to have it. In fact, we had it at Gaming Grounds at one point. When I was collecting Super Nintendo, I actually put it off because I disliked it so much, was the Ninja Gaiden trilogy. Because Ninja Gaiden's so good, but that
they
messed that port up so bad. Wasted opportunity on that one. But yeah, my God, the Super Nintendo. I'm looking at a list of the games here, and Kaz, it's so good.
R-Type 3 was actually...
R-Type, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The whole R-Type series, actually.
I mean, karate is
one person mentioned F-Zero.
Fuck, F-Zero.
I was going to ask about racing games, because Shannon, I know we've talked about this. Top Gear is probably still in my top five racing games ever. And Top it's that Gear. Goddamn soundtrack that I listened to at work today.
We love Top Gear, but I agreed with Jesse. He stole my number one pick, and that's Rock and Roll Racing. I
was just thinking. Yeah. Yep, Rock and Roll Racing. That is a flashback of memories.
To me, that was like the pinnacle of racing and the soundtrack, the graphics, everything. I said Samurai Showdown. I used to rent Samurai Showdown legitimately from Pulaski Video. I rented Samurai Showdown all the time. It was like my favorite fighting game.
I remember getting Fester's House, or there was the Adam
Fester's Quest.
Getting that one in Pulaski a lot. It's funny. When I said Turtles in Time, that was part of my list. Yeah. I just realized I actually played that not as much on Super Nintendo. I actually played it at the arcade in Pizza Hut over in Anna.
Yep.
Kaz, Every time we went to Pizza Hut, I'd play fucking Turtles in Time.
No, Kaz, listen. I have that arcade right now in my basement.
Have it?
Yes.
Mail it out here.
Come stay with me for a while.
No, actually drive it out here, then you can stay.
The first game I ever played, as a big X-Men fan, the first X-Men game I ever played, Spider-Man X-Men Arcades Revenge. I know it's not a great game, but I loved it because, again, I got to play the X-Men for the first time. There was also an X-Men game for the Super Nintendo that I never had, and I played it later as an adult and really liked it. I don't think it's as good as the Genesis ones. Cody, do you remember the X-Men game on Super Nintendo?
That's what I'm trying to remember, because the one that comes to mind for me, if it's not Arcade's Revenge, is War of the Gems, but obviously that's Marvel Super Heroes. That's not X-Men. Mutant Apocalypse. There it is. I'd look up what it was.
Yeah. It was kind of weird because you had to put in inputs for, like, if you want to do Cyclops' Blast, you had to do down to forward punch because it was a Capcom game. Just a couple of the random ones here, and you're going to be surprised by one of them, maybe. Well, I forgot the other ones, so I guess that's pointless now.
Did anyone ever bring up Secret of Mana?
I thought you were looking at a list.
I was.
I said it a few minutes ago.
I was. And
yeah,
then
I was surprised no one said it.
Under the influence.
I lost it. Star Trek The Next Generation.
Over the Moon.
Legit loved that game as a kid. Yep. I was such a big Star Trek The Next Generation fan. Bomberman. Bomberman was on the Super Nintendo and was really
good. Well, don't say that too loud, because what, the first four-player game,
yeah,
basically?
Yeah, I had the multi-tap.
The multi-tap?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, because they actually, Hudson Soft released that multi-tap originally, the Super multi-tap. Mm-hmm.
Yep, and I had,
you know what?
Super Off-Road. I have to mention, Super Off-Road was so good. Yeah.
It is.
Kes.
And if you run over people, you lose $3,000, so you got to watch out for those ATVs that are running amidst a group of high-power trucks.
Charlottesville?
Jesus, that's not what I meant, but all right.
You know what? To keep the nostalgia.
Yes. Wait, hold on. Before I forget it, I have to say it. The Strike series, Desert Strike and Jungle Strike. I just had to mention those. Sorry.
Yes, though I relate those more to the Genesis because that's where I played them.
Right.
But yeah.
To keep the nostalgia going after the show tonight, we should play some Broforce.
Oh, you beautiful bastard.
I could absolutely see Broforce as being a Super Nintendo game back in the day.
That is... Yeah. My illustrious wife, that is her come home and decompress game. I own it on PC and PC or PS4 specifically, so it can be like, I'm angry. It was on a play. I had it on PlayStation Plus for a long time, and then when I stopped having that, I had it on my computer through GOG, and I bought it on PSN sale a couple months ago.
If you've beat it before, get it again now, because it's kind of, I think it's an expansion, right?
Yeah.
Not
well, PC has that Expendables one, yeah.
Not to go back to Super Nintendo.
Here we go.
But Super Nintendo was also the first place I ever saw Ultima. And Ultima would go on to become one of the most influential games of my life. Ultima Online is literally, other than Mario Brothers 3, it's my favorite game of all time. I have so many good memories of Ultima Online. It's actually how I met Shelby the first time and got to know her. It's a long story, and I'm way too intoxicated to say it. So I'm going to pass the show off to...
Right.
People that decided to be responsible, and that's...
I'll ask this of all of you, because it's a fun thing that I always think of when I think about video games, especially as a kid. Was there, or what was your worst experience with a Super Nintendo game?
Lesser
or
the
just
likely.
Or just a game in general childhood. I can tell you mine explicitly. Ooh. It's burned into my brain.
Lesser the Unlikely.
Well, then tell it.
God. Lester the Unlikely, why would you speak such a heinous name?
As a kid, again, Super Nintendo came out in 91. I was 9 years old, and it was the greatest thing I had ever experienced in my life, and I just played all these games. I wanted to play everything on Super Nintendo, and it was back when you were a kid, you forgave a lot of things. So even though some of the games really weren't that good, you could forgive it because it was on Super Nintendo and it was awesome. There was a game called Doom Troopers that I loved, even though it wasn't great. But I played Lester the Unlikely, and from what I understand, it gets better. But that first part of Lester on the Unlikely is so embarrassingly bad, no one would ever want to play it. Cody, it's like, who was this
meant
for? Yeah.
Yeah, it's real rough. I've watched speedruns of it to see that the character does, in fact, improve a little bit, but that doesn't help it at all.
It doesn't.
Mine, personally, was Batman Forever. It was other than...
God, I forgot about that
to
one.
To show you, so Shannon said he was 9 in 1991. We talk about the age disparity a lot. This would have been...
I'm despairing.
95, 96. I was young enough to not know any better, old enough to be able to play a game. Other than paper, I think, actually, I'll flip it. Got Batman Forever from Walmart. Surely it had to have been a bargain bin game because my mom would not have bought a full price game for the system. Would not figure out how to get off the first screen of the game because, for those of you who have never played Batman Forever, first of all, digitized graphics like the Mortal Kombat games. Two, controls like the Mortal Kombat games.
Not
four,
good.
A side-scrolling beat-em-up.
Not
three,
good.
A Super Nintendo game that had loading screens. It would literally say, hold on, when you change screens.
Yep.
On a fucking cartridge game.
Yep.
Anyway, the trick of that story is you have to press up and select to have your utility belt shoot a zip line to take you through a specific point in the ceiling that is not obvious, and 5-year-old Cody did not understand. We took it back to Walmart, and my mom convinced the clerk for the return desk that it was a malfunctioning game.
I mean,
did not work.
She wasn't
wrong. Yeah, no, she wasn't. I ended up getting Paperboy 2 instead, which I know people decry because it's just more of the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I very much, that's a game I still play regularly just because of the novelty of being Paperboy. So, that was my worst experience with the game.
One more real quick, and I'll turn it over to everybody else, because there was this little video rental store in Cairo that I loved, and then the guy got shut down for selling drugs out of the back.
But as you do.
I remember renting Mega Man Soccer. You know, we always talk about Mega Man. Not many people remember Mega Man Soccer. And I was so excited to play it. And I turned... It's not like Less for the Unlikely, where it was so unlikable that, you know, you just... Like, who would rent this? You know who would rent Mega Man Soccer. People that like Mega Man. And
yes.
And as a huge Mega Man fan, I rented it. And I just remember thinking, this is awful. Like, this is god-awful. Why would they ever release
this? It's a game that wasn't even finished.
I would believe that. It looked terrible.
No, literally, when you beat the tournament mode, it just cuts off. There's supposed to be an ending, and there is an ending in the ROM. They just didn't point to it. And yeah, it's awful. It's very bad.
I never finished it because I'm pretty sure we took it back, and then I bought the Beverly Hills Cop 3 soundtrack, which is phenomenal. Hunter, go ahead.
This feels like a terrible time to mention this, but I'm pretty sure you're not coming through your regular microphone, by the way.
Oh, God.
Yeah, am I crazy?
Sound funky.
Well, okay. Here's the good news. The people listening won't know because I have it set right on there, but you're absolutely right. And hold on 1 second. And now I'm correct on both.
There you go.
There you go.
I knew you sounded really quiet for the longest time. Anyway. Yeah,
they're good, though. They're good. And they're all that matters.
I have two things to say about bad SNES games. Number one, in looking for what was driving me nuts, because I knew there was one that I hated, but this wasn't it. I came across a screenshot of Bebe's Kids for the
NES. Yes, you did.
And yes, I need you to go take a look at that.
No, I don't want to.
Yeah. Here's what I'm going to say about bad SNES games and my worst experience with them. Cody, I'm going to give you three words. You ready for them?
Hit me with them.
Balls 3D.
Oh God.
And that's where that conversation begins and ends.
I'll just interject briefly. Have you ever wanted to rent a Nintendo game with porn sound effects and have to answer questions about it? Because Balls 3D gives you that opportunity.
And it couldn't be more 90s, because not only is it 3D in a game that's not really 3D, but Balls is spelled with a Z.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Kaz, worst Super Nintendo game you ever played?
That was mine too. Yeah,
Balls 3D.
That was exactly what I was gonna say.
Lindsay, worst 3D balls so you ever played with?
I mean, I didn't get to play a lot of games other than the good ones because I didn't have my own system.
That's probably for the better.
And it is better.
So it's not Super Nintendo though.
You
remember it because I got extremely pissed off at the original trauma center that I was doing really, Lindsay. Really well until you had to defuse that fucking bomb.
Lindsay.
Why does a surgeon have to defuse a bomb?
Lindsay, I'm gonna be honest with you at this point. I'm drunk.
Yeah, I know.
So we gotta end this show, but before we do, I'm pulling Ethan in here and we're gonna ask Ethan what their favorites, least favorite Super Nintendo. So Ethan is in here now. Ethan, you're on the show. Hello. How are you?
Oh, hey. I'm doing good. I'm playing well.
Yay.
Ethan, we're ending the show, but I had to ask. I saw you online. What's the worst Super Nintendo game you ever played? Ethan Craig Miles.
Oh, God. What was that game that was called? Oh, shit. It was like Miss... Fuck, what was it called? You got me on the spot.
I do.
Yeah, all right, I'm laughing. He was like, it was the fighter where everybody was made of balls. And then you hit those balls and other balls.
Balls 3D.
God damn it!
It was called Clay Fighter 63 and a
3.5.
The sculptor's cut. All right.
Oh my God.
Wait, so Ethan, did you say Balls 3D?
Yes.
God damn, that's three for Balls 3D! Oh my God. All right, well... I'm glad we proved something on this show, and that's Balls 3D is the worst Super Nintendo game of all time.
Yep.
That's going to do it for us tonight, too. We're going to get out of here. I think that's a good place to end it. Go play some Fallout for myself and first off, if you haven't already, go back, check out. Great week of content. We started with an After Dark that was absolutely not recorded last Thursday, and I didn't post it. On Wednesday... We had an all-new Extras and Epilogues. Lindsay and Ethan were on there to talk about Barbie. Last night, we did a great After Dark talking about Super Nintendo that carried into this episode. So it was a great week of content here on Podzilla 1985. Everything's starting to kick in now. I have to get out of here. So good night, everybody. We will see you next week. Hunter, will you do me the honors? Please take us out.
Shannon. End the show.